Jim Fink from Business First back with us for another Press Pass. And Jim, first and foremost, I want to get into an issue that has generated some interesting debate around the area, and that is the Skyway and the future of the Skyway, which we understand would cost millions to repair and make it whole as the years go on, but also it would cost millions to take it out as well. What do you know about the situation?
Well, it's certainly become a hot button issue here in Western New York, and especially among Buffalo leaders. You have to go back to September. Brian Higgins had a press conference out by the waterfront, and there was one of the regional gurus from the state DOT. So obviously the question about the Skyway reared its head. Brian, you know, reiterated he believes, and rightfully so, that the money you're going to spend to repair it could go towards tearing it down and coming up with an alternate route. The state DOT representative said, no, it's not even on our radar mm-hmm. screen. We're really focused on fixing it. So right now it's sort of at a Mexican standoff, for lack of a better. And Robert Duffy, Lieutenant Governor Duffy, was in town a couple weeks ago touring the waterfront. And again, the question came up. And I guess what's frustrating from my perspective, and this is just my own opinion, Duffy and Cuomo, they have the clout. I mean, if they turn around and tell the DOT upper echelon, forget it, take down the Skyway, and you know, the state could kick in using some of that $1 billion that has been allocated for the Regional Council for Economic Development. There's federal dollars that could be tied in. This is not an unrealistic expectation, in my opinion. The Skyway was built in the 50s with a purpose in mind. Obviously, the waterfront was seeing much more freighter traffic at that point. It had to be 110 feet high to cover the freighters. But those days have come and gone. Engineering is such that you can come up with an alternate route, alternate design that will take care of the freighters that do come in, like to General Mills and other. and you can have a more user-friendly, driver-friendly, development-friendly roadway. It is an important roadway. I mean, it connects.
Absolutely.
It connects downtown to basically it's the gateway to the southern tier. So it's important, especially you get a lot of truck traffic. Trucks heading down towards Pennsylvania and elsewhere. It should not be discounted. It shouldn't be just pushed aside by the DOT saying, well, we're just going to repair it and, you know, forget you guys and your opinion. It is an impediment, in my opinion, to economic development efforts on the Outer Harbor and elsewhere. And it's ugly. I mean, Toronto has taken care of some of its problems. Certainly Boston with the big dig. Milwaukee is done the same. We can certainly do it. It's not rocket scientist. We're not, in my opinion, coming up with something new. We're just making adjustments to a road that maybe served a purpose in the 1950s that doesn't in the year 2012 and beyond.
Let's take a look at something that's also historic in this region, and that is the Fort Erie horse racing track, which we understand, despite that history, despite that legacy, might be in some trouble.
It is in some trouble. Obviously, it's been dealing with dwindling attendance over the years. Casino competition, just horse racing these days isn't what it was when it was the sport of kings. There was the racetrack, even though the property is owned by an Israeli group, has been run for the past 3 years by a local Fort Erie group. And they have done a pretty masterful job of beefing up attendance, making it viable. And what they needed was help from the Ontario provincial government. There was a report that was issued last week, a recommendation, that they had really hoped would be a lifeline and for the track, would have recommended more racing dates, some provincial aid, and some other factors. Well, just the opposite happened. The report recommended that a lot of the thoroughbred racing be shifted up to the Ajax Downs, which is, not surprisingly, near Toronto. They said Fort Erie should just have a 30-day thoroughbred season and maybe a 30-day quarter horse season. That's not economically viable. it is another example of a Toronto-centric decision that seems to be crippling and hurting Fort Erie. You know, it was the decision by the provincial government to shut Douglas Memorial Hospital. It was the decision by the OLGC to shut the slots at the Fort Erie race, which generated about $6.5 million that filled a key financing gap for the racetrack. Now, I know we're here sitting in Buffalo and people are saying, well, that's Fort Erie, it's Canada, it's Ontario, it's really not our headache. Well, it is, from a regional perspective. And least we forget, there's about 10,000 Western New York people who live in Fort Erie or Point Avenue, Waverly Beach, Crescent Beach. That will affect their property tax rates, the value of their property. For whatever reason, and I've asked this to a lot of people, the deep thinkers in Toronto are really snubbing Fort Erie. They've made a series of Toronto-centric decisions that really have hurt the town of Fort Erie. And Fort Erie is obviously the other side of the Peace Bridge. It's a major border entry. The impact of what happens in Fort Erie will be felt in Buffalo. And what's happening at the racetrack, in my opinion, is sort of a snapshot of that.
You know, and it's interesting because we kind of expect those Fort Erie people and other people in the southern portion of Ontario to come over and do a lot of their holiday shopping here in Western New York. But you have some concerns now as we move toward that season. And it's really basically here. I mean, you know, you're already seeing holiday ads out and things along those lines. But you have some concerns about the upcoming holiday season.
Before Hurricane Sandy struck, a lot of the retail analysts were saying it was going to be a strong holiday season. I think they're rethinking that right now. Monies, especially downstate monies that might have gone for Christmas shopping, is now focused, on repairs and, you know, post-hurricane issues, which is unfortunate. And again, the ripple effects of Sandy are felt across many businesses, many industries, retail shopping being one of them. The ripple effects are going to be felt for a long, long time.
And we even heard
holiday shopping being one of them.
And we even heard from the state comptroller the other day that he might have to revise his forecast when it comes to the state budget in terms of revenue collections and things along those lines, not even taking into consideration holiday shopping or lack thereof.
Correct. And that's very true. Governor Cuomo the other day said he was expected a $6 billion price tag for the total damage for Hurricane Sandy. It's probably going to be greater than that.
Right.
And again, money, downstate money that people would have spent on holiday shopping is now going to be spent, obviously, on repairing their homes or rebuilding their lives. It's unfortunate, and we're all going to feel the effect of that. But you can't just isolate yourself and say, well, it's New York City, because unfortunately, it's being felt across the state, across the region, across the country.
Right. Well, Jim Fink, unfortunately, we finished that on a down note today, but as always, we appreciate your time and Press Pass.
Thank you. We'll see you next month.